whose stated mission is, quote, to empower all individuals to manage their sexual and reproductive health through patient services, education, and advocacy. That certainly is an admirable and very important mission, and yet this agency receives its share of criticism. Why do various political entities threaten to defund Planned Parenthood? What is it that makes this agency a target for some? And what are the services that Planned Parenthood provides and the role that the organization plays in our society? Joining me to discuss these issues today is the director of Planned Parenthood of Milwaukee, of the government services, excuse me, for Planned Parenthood of Milwaukee, Nicole Safar. Welcome, Nicole, and thank you so much for joining us by radio today for this important discussion.
Good morning. I'm very happy to be here.
Before we begin discussing Planned Parenthood, Nicole, I just wonder if you could let our listeners know a little about your background and how you came to be with Planned Parenthood.
Sure, I would love to. I came to Wisconsin to go to law school, and when I graduated from UW Law School, while I was in UW Law School, I went to Planned Parenthood for my basic health care services. It was my doctor during that time, like it is for so many women during times of transition. And when I graduated, I started volunteering and interning with Planned Parenthood and eventually ended up with a job there. So the vast majority of my career so far has been working for Planned Parenthood of Wisconsin.
That's wonderful. It was kind of meant to be. Mm-hmm. So you have a law degree and work with them as a lawyer in the governmental affairs, is it, area?
That's correct. Mm-hmm.
Maybe you could also just give us a little information about Planned Parenthood's history. I was surprised to read that its beginnings were as early as 1916, so it's over 100 years old now. What prompted the beginnings of Planned Parenthood? What was the situation at the time that caused it to become an organization?
Yeah, so in the early 1900s, women's health or maternal health in our country was in a very dismal place. Childbirth was incredibly dangerous, and women were having, 12 to 15 pregnancies in their lifetime and going through labor and delivery for many of them. And women were really looking for a way to help control their fertility and have healthier lives and be able to live longer to take care of their children. So the founder of Planned Parenthood, I believe was in Brooklyn, or it was in New York, was Margaret Sanger, and she worked with other women to provide information about birth control options for women. So that's really how it started, was with Margaret Sanger and her volunteer colleagues really trying to provide education for women who didn't know how to prevent unintended pregnancies.
Yes, and she really was in a lot of ways a pioneer because, there's still criticism of her when you look back at the quotes that she said, but she had seen, as you said, the difficulties that women faced with their whole reproduction system. And my mom grew up in a family of 10 children, and mm-hmm. she said to me, and her husband, my mom's husband, my grandfather, died after she had 10 children, and so she was raising 10 children during the Depression, and Mom said, she was always, she remembers her always not wanting to be pregnant again, and that's the situation Margaret Sanger, I'm sure, saw all over poor people, having children and having no control over that.
Right. And at the time, contraception was illegal in many places as well. So there were a lot of organizing and advocacy issues even from the beginning, because it's never been easy for women in our country to get access to reproductive health care. And that seems to be a consistent trend that we've seen even 100 years later.
And that's just so tremendously important in women's lives. Mm-hmm. When did Wisconsin come to have a Planned Parenthood site, and how many sites are in Wisconsin?
So Planned Parenthood came to Wisconsin in 1935, and the first health centers were in Milwaukee. Today, we have 21 health centers across the state, from Green Bay to Eau Claire, through the Fox Valley, and then Madison, Milwaukee, Kenosha, Racine, Delvin. What am I forgetting? We've got 5 in Milwaukee and 2 in Madison.
It's amazing to me in reading about all of this how widespread Planned Parenthood is. I believe with the last change in government in Wisconsin, we lost, what, 5?
We did. Yes, we under Governor Walker's first budget, he took away some state funding that Planned Parenthood had for many, many years to provide preventative health care. And as a result of that cut, we've had to close 5 of our clinics, which has been really devastating for those communities.
And, you know, it's always said, well, somebody will come in to fill the gap. Did that happen with these 5?
It did not happen. So in the communities of Shawano and Fond du Lac and Beaver Dam and Chippewa Falls and Johnson's Creek, where there once was a Planned Parenthood, now there is not a community-based health center for women to get reproductive health care.
It's amazing and sad. You provide way more services, I think, than people realize. Let's start with birth control itself. That's a key service that's provided. What's the importance of this service to the public, especially in this day and age, and how has it impacted on rates of abortion and teen pregnancies?
Yeah, well, birth control is really one of the core things that we do at Planned Parenthood. And unlike, you know, when Margaret Sanger started 100 years ago, birth control options for women now have gotten incredibly effective and at Planned Parenthood, very affordable. So we do a lot of education and counseling with our patients to try to help them or to try to give them information to decide the best kind of birth control method. And a big change I think we've seen in the last maybe 3 to 6 years is so many women choosing long-term contraception like IUDs and implantables, which are incredibly effective. And I think that's a huge reason why we're seeing a drop in unintended pregnancy rates, in teen pregnancy rates, and in the abortion rate.
And reversible, right?
Yes.
Other services you provide women, and another thing that I think a lot of people don't realize is really just checkups and exams, STD testing. What are some of the things that you provide in that area?
Yeah, so we do sort of the full range of preventative reproductive health care. We do cervical and breast cancer screenings. We do STD screening and treatment. We do education about how to prevent the transmission of STDs. We do just general, you know, annual well woman exams. And we also serve men. We provide, you know, the same sort of STD testing and treatment education services for men in our health centers as well.
And that is something that a lot of people don't realize. So. What percent about are men versus women? I assume it's largely women.
It's about 90% women, around 10% men. So it is quite significantly more women, but, you know, being a woman, you know that we just have our reproductive health needs are a little bit more complicated.
Absolutely. Can services be provided confidentially and anonymously if, say, someone is having a problem, they come to Planned Parenthood, but they don't want their parents or others to know?
So at Planned Parenthood, our patient confidentiality is our top most priority. We certainly, you know, work to make sure that all of our patients feel safe and in a place where they're not, where they're able to talk freely and get the healthcare services that they need. Whether it's, you know, someone who might be a survivor of domestic violence or have other, you know, issues that their privacy is a top concern. For teens, we also make sure that we're a safe space so they can get the information they need. But we really do encourage all of our younger patients to talk to their parents or to talk to another trusted adult when they're making decisions about their sexual health. And sometimes we find that the clinician at Planned Parenthood is the only trusted adult in that teen's life.
Mm-hmm.
But we certainly encourage parents, young women, to talk to their parents if they feel they can.
And if teens are listening right now and they wonder if they can safely come to Planned Parenthood and they don't feel comfortable sharing with their parents, are they allowed to see you confidentially?
Of course. We provide care for any patient that walks through our door, and you know that's really a part of our mission, is to make sure that we are a safe, non-judgmental place for anyone who needs access to reproductive health care.
Mm-hmm. And I understand that one of the advantages of the checkups that you provide is that there is cancer screening and screening for other health issues. Have you some stories of people who have discovered things that they didn't know that they had wrong with them?
You know, that is such a great question, and it's something that that we hear a lot of, especially right now. Statistically speaking, 1 in 5 women in Wisconsin has been a patient at Planned Parenthood, but it's really been since the election where we have seen women who are stepping out to talk about their experiences at Planned Parenthood. And I can't tell you how often I run into a woman who said, you caught my pre-cervical cancer, and I didn't have a doctor at the time, so I never would have gotten a pap test if it hadn't been for Planned Parenthood.
Mm-hmm.
So it really is a common occurrence for women. And not every, precancerous result turns into cancer, but it's certainly, if it's your result, you want to address it earlier rather than later. So it's one of the reasons why I think women feel so connected to Planned
mm-hmm.
Parenthood.
Absolutely, and a lot of those things are asymptomatic. They don't have symptoms
right.
when they're discovered. So
absolutely.
It's a tremendous service that Planned Parenthood provides. What's the primary age group that you serve?
So the vast majority of our patients are between the ages of 20 and 24. We serve about 20,000 patients in that age group. And then the next sort of level is 25 to 29.
Okay. And when you said 20,000, was that a year? And is that in
20,000 a year. Yep. We serve about 60,000 patients every year.
In Wisconsin?
In Wisconsin, yes.
Wow. Those are very impressive statistics. I want to repeat them for our listeners, that 1 out of every 5 women, I was surprised at that.
Mm-hmm.
Statistic also, have been served by Planned Parenthood. 20% of our population. It's amazing.
Mm-hmm.
It's no wonder why there is really growing support when Planned Parenthood defunding is discussed. And 60,000 a year in Wisconsin alone. It's
mm-hmm.
pretty amazing. You know, the phrase reproductive rights is used a great deal these days in the discussion. I think women and families have concern about the loss of reproductive rights. What is that phrase, reproductive rights? Why is that so important? And what in our history regarding women and their rights to ownership of their own bodies does this suggest?
Yeah, it really goes back to Planned Parenthood's mission, and that is to make sure that everyone has the information about how their body works and how they can manage their reproductive systems, but also have access to the healthcare and services that they need. So women can decide when is the best time to parent and to have a child if becoming a parent is what they have decided is best for them.
Mm-hmm.
So, it is truly at a basic level impacts our, as women, our sort of opportunity to do everything
yes.
in our lives.
And I think, for us older women, we should probably tell the story more about what it was like. Because, with the advent of the pill in the 60s, mm-hmm. it made a huge difference in opportunities that women had, because suddenly, You know, they weren't, they had a way to control their fertility, not their fertility, their reproductive state. It really, the pill was really a huge impact, was it not?
Absolutely. It had, I mean, it, I think, revolutionized the birth control options for so many women, kind of in the same way, I think, that the long-term, long-acting reversible contraceptives are sort of really transforming the game now. So as science and medicine sort of continues to evolve, birth control really is just getting so much more effective and more affordable, which is a wonderful thing for women's health overall.
Yes, and my understanding is that Planned Parenthood services are available to all, whether they can pay or they can't pay. Is that true?
That is correct.
And how do you manage that financially?
Yeah, so we will provide care to anyone who comes to us, regardless of their ability to pay. Many, many of our patients qualify for Badger Care in Wisconsin. So we help to enroll them in Badger Care, and then we're able to provide them the services under the Medicaid program. For other patients who don't qualify, we offer care on a sliding fee scale. So depending on what your income is, you can pay sort of according to that. And then we also, of course, have support from our wonderful donors across the state who give very generously to help fill the gap.
Could you let our listeners know who you serve? In other words, we've talked about the age groups, but when so many people are working multiple jobs or are on Medicaid or can't work, can you talk a little bit about what vulnerable populations we're serving as well as a more non-vulnerable population?
Yeah, so the vast majority of our patients are at or below the federal poverty level. So that means they're making less than about $14,000 a year for an individual. So it certainly is a group of women, or mostly women, who are not able to purchase healthcare in, you know, the marketplace, or to actually purchase healthcare because their limited income is going for basic things like housing and food and probably childcare. So it really is a very low-income population that we're serving.
Yes, and as centers close, you know, what's said is they can use the services of other centers. I know that in the first district, I believe there are three, or are there five? Go ahead.
There are three, yeah. So in Speaker Ryan's Congressional District, we have health centers in Racine, Kenosha, and Delavan. And what you said brought up another point, I think, as far as the populations that we're serving, especially in some of our rural health centers. We're serving really a much broader population of women because we just have such a healthcare shortage in Wisconsin, and especially gynecological care outside of Madison, Milwaukee. Even if you have insurance, often it's very difficult to get in or to even find someone in your community. So for kind of women's basic reproductive health needs, a lot of people just choose to come to Planned Parenthood because they know they can get excellent care and they can get in within a time frame that works for them.
That's one of the real advantages, too, of Planned Parenthood is it often takes a while to get into a clinic. You wait a month or 2 months to see someone, and Planned Parenthood attempts to create services when people have a sudden need and to be able to accommodate that.
Since preventative reproductive health care is all we do, we're able to, I think, we've gotten very efficient at it. So,
yeah. And I guess, well, I want to go back to that first district situation for a second, too, though. So in that first district where there is an effort to by the leadership there to defund Planned Parenthood. There are three Planned Parenthood sites, and yet in this district, there's only one public health center, which is what they always say. They can go to a public health center. And there's only one, and it's in Kenosha. So it could really have an impact, could it not, on a whole lot of people?
It could have a huge impact in your community. And, you know, I think I mentioned this earlier in our conversation, but mm-hmm. access to these health services in our state is very stretched thin. And if Planned Parenthood and the role that we play goes away, there isn't enough access right now today. So mm-hmm. it really taking health centers away is the exact opposite direction our country should be moving.
Yes. And I think the one public health center, which is in Kenosha, said that there is no way they could handle the influx of the Planned Parenthood clients from those three other Planned Parenthood centers if that happened. Anybody who yeah. knows, go ahead.
Oh, I was going to say yes. I think it's really difficult for these community health centers to plan for a huge influx of patients when they're already stretched so thin.
Yeah. I think anybody, too, who hasn't had anything to do with Medicare knows that Medicaid, knows that their insurance is not covered by the majority of agencies across a whole spectrum, dental, counseling, healthcare, many
right.
others. And that's a real role that Planned Parenthood plays, is it not?
That's absolutely right. You know, because we have this infrastructure of health centers across Wisconsin, women who wouldn't otherwise have access to this care do have access, and we don't see that, unfortunately, that same infrastructure of charity care when it comes to dentists or mental health. It, you know, Planned Parenthood, I think, could really be a model for other nonprofits who want to serve these populations. But, you know, it's charity care. That's
mm-hmm.
part of our mission. That's what we do. And it's not necessarily the most glamorous, I guess.
Mm-hmm. there's been a lot more threat of closing or defunding Planned Parenthood since this last presidential election. But it's interesting that that's also caused you to gain some support, has it not?
Oh, certainly. I think since the election, and especially since Speaker Ryan introduced the concept that he wanted to take federal dollars away from Planned Parenthood in January, we have seen organizing and people speaking out. Like, I've been at Planned Parenthood for 12 years, and I've never seen anything like it. It certainly has gotten people to mobilize,
mm-hmm.
and I think, like you said, people are really starting to take it seriously how access to reproductive health care is a right and should be a basic human right for everyone.
Mm-hmm. And you've gotten an increase in funding from just the general public, have you not, since the election?
Oh, certainly our donors have become more generous and more engaged. We have seen an uptick in donations, yes.
Mm-hmm. And I also read that a recent survey suggested that support is very high for Planned Parenthood now, that bipartisan surveys of just individuals
mm-hmm.
across, where 75% of individuals surveyed supported the continuation rather than defunding of Planned Parenthood. Is it that high?
It is that high. It's really, for someone who looks at polls a lot, to see numbers of support in, you know, at the high 70s, 75, 80% of people agreeing on something is almost unheard of.
Mm-hmm.
So, again, I think it really shows the understanding people have of how important Planned Parenthood is in the communities where we are. And I think it also shows, like you said, that this is not, for regular people, for voters, this is not a partisan issue.
Mm-hmm.
It doesn't make sense to us as voters that this would be political. The only people who are making it political are the elected officials.
Yes, and they're a very vocal minority.
Yes.
But they're a minority, and by quite a bit now, I think. How optimistic or pessimistic are you about the whole issue of defunding? Do you think it stands much of a chance?
I do think it is a serious threat. I think that we have to continue to be vigilant and to talk about the importance of Planned Parenthood and to speak out if we've been a patient, and to continue to call our Congress people, because there certainly are people in both the state of Wisconsin and in Washington, D.C., who will not be happy until Planned Parenthood closes everywhere.
Mm-hmm.
So, like you said, it's not everyone, but if we let up on the pressure, I think we are making a mistake.
Mm-hmm.
So I think it is incredibly important for us to continue to talk about these issues.
Absolutely. Continue telling the stories, and especially mm-hmm. the stories back to when women didn't have access to good
yep.
reproductive options. So we should talk here a little bit about the volatile issue of abortions, which goes to the heart of the controversy. The people who want to close Planned Parenthood often are very, very anti-abortion. And yet it's well known that Planned Parenthood isn't allowed to use government money on providing abortions. So how does that work, and how many of your centers in Wisconsin actually do provide abortions?
Yeah, so thank you so much for bringing this up, because I think this is a topic of conversation that is not always easy to talk about,
mm-hmm.
and it's something that a lot of people don't know about unless they have a personal experience with abortion. So two of our health centers in Wisconsin provide abortion services, and they're located, one is in Madison and one is in Milwaukee. So the other 19 are solely family planning health centers. And as you said, Medicaid funding cannot pay for abortion services. So that's been the law in Wisconsin almost since Roe v. Wade, the Supreme Court case that actually legalized abortion. So it has, you know, for almost 40 years, Medicaid in Wisconsin has not paid for abortion services. I think it's important to, when you're thinking about the Medicaid program, that Medicaid is insurance for people. So it's not like a lump sum of money that Planned Parenthood gets and then provides services. We actually bill the Medicaid program just like we would bill any insurance company, and we get paid for the services provided. So it's quite easy to know that we don't bill Medicaid for abortion, and so
mm-hmm.
it's right there in the system itself.
What is the primary argument that Planned Parenthood has in support of choice? Is it who should be deciding?
You know, I think that really goes back to our basic mission as well. At Planned Parenthood, we really understand the emotional complexity that can surround the decision to end a pregnancy. And for many women, it can be a very difficult experience, a very difficult situation to be in. And we really believe that because these are such personal, intimate decisions about our lives and parenting and our future, that each individual woman is the only person who knows what's best for her and her family.
Mm-hmm.
So that's why we continue to provide the full range of reproductive health services, including abortion, so we can be there for a woman when and if she decides for herself that it's the best decision for her.
And I think it's very interesting that the people who are very, very anti-abortion don't want the government coming into their lives. They tend to be more conservative, don't want the government coming into their lives. And yet, to me, the basic issue in all of this is who decides. And
mm-hmm.
we let the government decide, or in this very, very personal of decisions and difficult, I doubt anyone ever does this easily,
mm-hmm.
that it should be the family and the women who decide. And I think that that's... True. Yeah. You know, I was on a group one time, which was a group that came together in the Racine area to prevent teen pregnancies. And an interesting thing about that group is that because they were all united for that common cause of preventing teen pregnancy, there were people there for who were pro-choice, and there were people who were anti-abortion, and there were people of multiple political persuasions, and yet we really could coalesce around that issue of pregnancy prevention. For teens, especially. So Planned Parenthood has actually played a pretty big role, have you not, in preventing the rate of teen pregnancy?
Yeah, we certainly have, and it's one of the things that we are really proud to be able to be a part of. We work often in coalition with the United Way or other teen pregnancy prevention initiatives, and it's just like you said, people come to the table with their own set of values and their own set of beliefs, but that doesn't mean we can't work together for a common goal. Mm-hmm. And when we're talking about making sure that teens and women are able to plan and space their pregnancies so they have the healthiest babies that they can and then can parent them in a safe and healthy way, like, that's what we all want.
Mm-hmm. You know, there have been in the news over the last 4 years probably things like increase in vaginal probe discussion and women having to watch a video before they have an abortion and pharmacists refusing to fill prescriptions. Have those things, have they actually occurred? I know in Wisconsin we talked about a pharmacist. Pharmacists would have a right to refuse to fill a birth control prescription if they didn't believe in it.
Yeah, so a few years ago that was a big policy issue where, and again, it wasn't a prevalent thing that was happening among pharmacists, but there were a couple of very vocal pharmacists in Wisconsin. I believe one was in Menominee, and they were in more rural communities, and they were refusing to fill legal birth control prescriptions. So there was some policies passed to say that they couldn't do that. I think going back to access to reproductive health care being a political issue for elected officials and, you know, politicians really using not just abortion but also birth control as kind of a wedge issue, It has been more prevalent in the last few years, and in Wisconsin, you know, getting an abortion is a very taking out the sort of your own personal emotional decision. Actually, getting the service is a very arduous process because we have so many state mandated restrictions.
Mm-hmm. And there was a precedent-setting case, apparently, called Whole Women's Health versus, was it Hellerstedt, which struck down some undue restrictions on women's reproductive rights. Can you say anything about that case?
Yeah.
What it actually caused?
The U.S. Supreme Court last summer ruled on a law out of Texas which would have required physicians who are providing abortion services to have hospital admitting privileges at a local hospital, which, you know, sounds like a very reasonable thing, right, to the average person. Doctors should be licensed and have admitting privileges. But what the intent of that law was to make it so physicians who are providing abortion services could not actually get those admitting privileges.
Mm-hmm.
Because to get admitting privileges, you have to admit patients on a regular basis, and abortion is such an incredibly safe outpatient procedure that it is very rare that you have a hospital admission after an abortion. So it's like catch 22, and the lawmakers knew that. So the law would have basically shut down many, many of the health centers in the state of Texas. And we had a similar law that we were fighting in court in Wisconsin that would have shut down about 60% of the access in Wisconsin. So the Supreme Court said, you know, states cannot pass these laws anymore that don't have any evidence behind them. and there was absolutely zero evidence that abortion was unsafe or that physicians needed to be able to admit patients to a hospital because it wasn't, that just wasn't happening.
Mm-hmm.
So it was a very, it was a real breakthrough for women's health because states have been passing a lot of these medically unnecessary, unsupported laws over the past 10 years.
Mm-hmm. Do you think that Roe v. Wade could be overturned? Is that a fear that Planned Parenthood has?
You know, I think it, because it is a court case, there is always, you never know what the actual makeup of the Supreme Court is going to be. So it is always a potential. What I will say is that Roe v. Wade is one of the most reaffirmed court cases in American history. There have been dozens and dozens of opportunities and attempts to overturn it, and the U.S. Supreme Court, even with a conservative makeup, has protected that basic access.
Mm-hmm.
It, you know, as long as we have to rely on a court system to protect that basic human right, there's always a risk.
Mm-hmm.
But I think that we know where the public stands on safe and legal abortion. Again, it's in the 70% of the general public thinks that it should be safe and legal. So it would be a real unpopular thing to have happen in our country.
Mm-hmm. What are some things that people can do if they're listening and they wish to support the efforts of Planned Parenthood in terms of women's health?
So we, of course, are always looking for people to join us and become a part of our network. And you can sign up to get information and alerts on our website, which is ppawi.org. But also, people can talk about Planned Parenthood with their family and friends and neighbors and coworkers. Really, the most persuasive advocate that we can have is people talking about us to people that trust them. So that's really what we ask supporters of Planned Parenthood to do, to make sure that they, and they don't have to talk about facts and statistics.
Mm-hmm.
Really, the most important thing is to talk about why Planned Parenthood is important to you, and to talk about why, if you have a Planned Parenthood in your community, why it's important to your community.
Yes, and I think the Women's March, even though it wasn't specifically about Planned Parenthood, but I think those kinds of things, saying women really are involved, women really care now, and
absolutely,
it makes a difference. Right now, I just
want... Use your voice.
Absolutely. Tell your stories. If one in five people are women are getting care through Planned Parenthood, there are a lot of stories out there to tell.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
I want to just report for our listeners in the Racine and Kenosha area that there is an event for Planned Parenthood, a wine and dessert get-together. And this program actually airs the day before Mother's Day, so it's in honor of motherhood. And it's being held on May 19th at 7 p.m. at Olympia Brown Unitarian Universalist Church at 625 College Avenue in Racine. So it will be a panel discussion and a discussion about the role of Planned Parenthood in our society. So again, it's May 19th, 7 p.m., Olympia Brown Unitarian Universalist Church in Racine. You know, the largest group that you said you serve, 18 to 24-year-olds, there are really special needs in that age group that could pose special problems if Planned Parenthood was defunded. What are some characteristics of that particular group that they particularly need the services that Planned Parenthood provides?
Yeah, so oftentimes, you know, women 20 to 24 are in a very transitional period in life, and they are, you know, graduating from high school and going to continue their education, or they're getting their first job, or, you know,
or they have multiple jobs with no insurance.
Right. But, you know, some of their jobs might not have access to employer-sponsored health insurance, or They might be, working working multiple jobs mm-hmm. and doing other things to sort of figure out what career path they might want to go down. And during this transitional period where you might not have access to health insurance or where you might be moving around, moving to a different community or moving out of your parents' house, having a reliable place to go to prevent unintended pregnancies and STDs and to get checked for cervical and breast cancer is just, with everything else that might be on your plate during that very transitional time, knowing that you can don't have to worry about your reproductive health because you can go to Planned Parenthood, it's so important.
It's so important. And again, it's the primary thing that Planned Parenthood does, which is not having to do with abortions, but having to do with really health education and reproductive rights in terms of birth control. And is there any last thing? This time went so fast. Is there anything last thing you'd like to say to our listeners?
I just want to say thank you so much for taking the time to talk with us about Planned Parenthood. I really do believe that each one of us has the power to make a difference in this fight to stand up for Planned Parenthood and stand up for access to reproductive health care. And it has, we've seen the impact of people using their voice already. Speaker Ryan and President Trump wanted to have their health care bill, which included, closing Planned Parenthood's passed by February, and now we're almost in May, and it has really made a difference. So I just want to say thank you.
Very, very well said, Nicole, and it really has made a difference. People advocating is the best thing we can do in a democracy. Margaret Sanger, the founder of Planned Parenthood, said, "No woman can call herself free who does not own and control her own body. No woman can call herself free until she can choose consciously whether she will or will not be a mother." I would like to express my appreciation to our guest today, Nicole Safar, Director of Government Planning for Planned Parenthood, for your work in assisting with the health and well-being of women and men in our country, and for your efforts to maintain reproductive rights of women. For that important work and for being with us today, I thank you so much, Nicole.
Thank you, Linda.
And finally, thanks to you, our listeners, for sharing with us your time this Saturday morning. I'm Linda Fleshensky, and I hope that you will join us here at WGTD every Saturday morning for this program as we explore the important subjects that touch our communities, because as we all know so well, community matters. Take care.
You've been listening to Community Matters, a program that airs every Saturday morning at 11:15 on WGTD. For an online recording of today's show, log on to WGTD's website at WGTD.org, click Talk, and go to Community Matters. Your gateway to public radio is WGTD HD, Kenosha, Racine, Elkhorn, and Lake Geneva.
From the WGTD Arts and Other Events calendar, the 23rd Annual Gateway Technical College Foundation Scramble Golf Outing will take place Thursday, May 25th. Tickets are $185 a person and it is limited to 144 golfers. For more information or to register, visit gtc.edu/foundationscramble.
Support comes from the Choral Arts Society in concert Saturday evening at the Racine Masonic Center with an all-American theme, a variety of music from American composers. Guest artists include Zachary Scott Johnson, Mark Paffrath, and Jeff Ward. Tickets at choralartsonline.org. Regular programming won't be heard on WGTD for the rest of the morning as we prepare for an early opera start. We will go to the Met at 11:30 this morning. Till then, let's join Classics by Request in progress.
Second movement, marked Andante from Symphony No. 3 in F Major, Opus 90 by Brahms, the request of Robert. Almost quarter after 11, we'll be going live to New York in about 15 minutes for today's broadcast of Der Rosenkavalier, Renee Fleming in the lead role. We spoke with Ed from Egg Harbor on the phone a little while ago, and he requested The Pines of Rome by Respighi, a unique piece of music in